Hey, Revels Local Alliance Church, we are continuing on this week with our Encounters with Jesus sermon series. This is part 8. Each week we're looking at a different encounter that Jesus had with different people from the Gospel of John and seeing what we can learn both about him, about what he taught, about who he was, and also about us as people and how we are supposed to still interact with him. So we've seen, for example, Jesus at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. We've seen him feeding 5,000 people. We've seen conversations that he's had with Nicodemus and with the Samaritan woman at the well. And this week's sermon, at first glance, passage of scripture, is relatively simple and straightforward. But there's more going on here than what first appears. So the setting is that John the Baptist is preaching repentance in the wilderness. He's testifying to Jesus. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, some of John's disciples start following Jesus when John says this. Pardon me. Andrew and John. Then Andrew goes to get his brother Peter to come and meet Jesus. And Peter follows him as well. So that makes three disciples at this point. And we're going to pick the story up here in John chapter 1 and verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We've found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Now, talk about... Here's this situation. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, that is just straight up bigotry. That's him. I mean, it's funny because Nathanael was just from the town a little bit further up the road, Bethsaida, not far at all from Nazareth. But I guess the guys in Bethsaida, the people in Bethsaida, looked down on the people in Nazareth. And he's like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, it's a very bigoted and narrow-minded viewpoint. Now, we are guilty of that same kind of mindset today here in Canada. If you're in British Columbia, I'm sure you have your opinion on drivers from Alberta. Can any good drivers come out of Alberta if they've got the red license plate? Does your bias instantly kick in against a driver from Alberta? Or if you live in Vancouver, maybe you think, can anything good come out of Surrey? Like, maybe there's a rivalry and a bias there. If you live in Chilliwack in the Fraser Valley, you're going to ask, can anything good come out of Abbotsford? And you probably think, no, not much. If you live in Revelstoke, can anything good come out of Malaquah? Well, yeah, I know a lot of good people in Malaquah, but still, the bigotry there of looking down, there's always some place to look down on from where you're at. And we even do it within our town, within Revelstoke. The folks who live in the Big Eddy call Arrow Heights Snob Hill. Folks who live in other parts of town call the Big Eddy other nicknames. Folks who live in downtown want to differentiate themselves from those who live in Southside, even though it's a 5-minute walk. And the people who actually live at the ski hill will make sure that you know that they do not live in Arrow Heights, but they live at the ski hill, because everyone's in this kind of ranking system. We are always othering, trying to place ourselves a wee bit higher up the moral, financial, cultural ladder than those others. And people do that with Christianity. Can anything good come out of Christianity, people ask. People might have their views on tarot cards or crystals, horoscopes, Eastern spirituality, but they might look down on Christianity. Can anything good come out of there, from Nazareth? Now, our answer to that should be exactly the same as Philip's on that day that we read about. Come and see. Come check it out. Now, to Nathanael's credit, the next day he went with his brother to meet Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus sees Nathanael coming. So let's pick up the chapter again in verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. What a great character reference. There was nothing crooked about Nathanael. He didn't cheat on his taxes. He didn't tell white lies. He was a straight shooter. He told it like it is. He followed through on his word. Maybe sometimes with that personality type, maybe he's a bit too abrasive. Could be. Maybe being such a straight arrow caused him some issues. Who knows? but truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. I love that character reference. I love it so much. That's definitely part of the reason why we called our son Nathan, after Nathaniel, an Israelite indeed in which there is no guile. Verse 48 picks it up again. How do you know me? Nathaniel asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. All right, so what on earth just happened? How do you know me, Nathanael said. I saw you under the fig tree. Rabbi, you're the Son of God, is his response. I really want to know what happened under that fig tree. Maybe Nathanael climbed up a hill to get away from everyone, sat under a fig tree, and repented of his deepest sins. Or maybe he poured out his heart to God about his doubts and his fears. Maybe he asked for a sign from God to show him the way that he should go. We just don't know. But Jesus knew, and whatever it was so profound, so deeply personal, that Nathanael was converted in an instant. Just like the Samaritan woman at the well, where Jesus told her about her previous five husbands, and she went and told everyone in town. Now, just go back to that instance, that's in John 4, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She said, he told me everything I ever did. And it's a similar situation with Nathanael. Jesus said, I know about the fig tree. Nathanael's like, I'm converted and I'm in. Now, this is some great news here to add to the mosaic of Jesus that we're piecing together through this sermon series. And here is the other piece that this week is that Jesus knows you. He really knows you in the deepest corners of your soul, the things you don't talk to others about, doubts and fears and all the self-conscious and self-esteem issues that you have. Jesus knows them all. He knows you. Now, for most people, that is simultaneously amazingly comforting and potentially amazingly terrifying. I mean, you want a friend, you want a soulmate, someone who really knows you, and here you have one, Jesus. But then the next thought is, if he really knows everything about me, will he still want to be my friend? Well, I have got some great news for you. He absolutely does. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus is talking about insults that were fired at him, and he kind of wore these insults as a badge of honor almost. This is Jesus speaking, Luke 7, 33 and 34. Jesus said, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. Well, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So Jesus' enemies to insult him calls a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus loves sinners. He really does. He knows our sins and he is our friend. So whatever happened under the fig tree, it was enough of a thing for Nathanael to turn his life around and follow Jesus when Jesus said, I saw you there. I know what you're going through. I know that issue that you were working out under the tree. Continuing on, verse 50. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. Then he added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So Jesus said to Nathanael, basically, you ain't seen nothing yet, Nathanael. Just wait till we see heaven open and angels descending and ascending on the Son of Man. So what is that all about? Well, it's a reference back to the book of Genesis, back to the very first book of the Bible, where Jacob, wanting to see God, had a dream of a ladder going from the earth up to heaven, and angels went up and down the ladder. And then he saw God at the top of the ladder, and God gave Jacob promises about his future family. This is what God said to him in the midst of this dream, Genesis 28, verse 14. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. So this is thousands of years before Jesus. And Jesus is talking to Jacob in a dream saying, all the nations are going to be blessed through your offspring. Do you know who Jacob's offspring was? Jesus. And then when Jacob awoke back then in Genesis 28, verses 16 to 19, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. All right, so Bethel means the house of God. Anytime you see El in a Hebrew word, that means God or a Hebrew place. Bethlehem or Nathaniel, Daniel, and so on and so forth. So Bethel, the house of God, the place where God and earth meet. The place where God and earth meet. Bethel. So circling back to our conversation between Jesus and Nathaniel, Jesus said that ladder that Jacob saw, that connection point, that bridge between heaven and earth, that Bethel, that house of God, Jesus saying, that's me. That's who I am. I am the fulfillment of that. I am the offspring that Jacob was promised. Now, it's such a short and simple conversation between Jesus and Nathaniel, but we've learned three things today. Number one, don't be a bigot. Don't other others. The gospel is about breaking down barriers, not setting them up. Don't dismiss people just because they're from Nazareth. Number two, Jesus knows you. He really knows you. He knows about all of your fig tree moments. And even though he knows you, or in addition to knowing you, he is also the friend of tax collectors and sinners. So he fully knows you and he fully loves you. And third point, Jesus is Bethel, the place where heaven and earth meet. Jesus shows us just what God is like and he represents all of humans back to God as our advocate. He's our mediator and our friend. He is showing humans what God is like, and he is representing humanity back to God. He is the go-between. He is the connecting point. So, lots to learn as we continue to piece together who Jesus is from the Gospel of John. Hope you join us next week, where we will be talking about Jesus and Mary Magdalene after the resurrection. All right, thanks for tuning in today. I hope you have a blessed day. Catch you later. Bye-bye.